Acts chapter 1 verse 8 as we attempt to bring an exhortation on the refinery of the spirit. Acts chapter 1, let's start from verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he chewed himself alive after his passions, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power or authority, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Let's see verse 1. The scripture said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That means for Jesus, there is a teaching side, there is a doctrinal side, and there is a practical side. As a matter of fact, all of them are part of teaching. If you have been an instructor before, one of the things you will find out is that a season will come and you will have to show your students what you are saying practically. It is still teaching. When you hear the word doctrine in the New Testament, it means two things in Greek. One is didache, and the other one is didaskalia. Now, when many people talk about doctrine, the only thing that they speak about is what we call didache. And didache is merely an instruction and teaching people precepts, teaching people from a syllable, a body of knowledge. Are you getting the point? For example, somebody is in university and they brought out, in those days when we are in school, they'll bring out chemistry, maybe chem 101 those days was called inorganic chemistry. So they begin to teach you from one level to another, begin to teach you. Are you getting the point? Now, but you will notice that most times your lecturers and teachers are teaching from a book. Is it not true? Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
They are teaching from a book. In fact, they are teaching from a syllable. In fact, there is an estimated body of knowledge, something, a basics that you should know. That means even your lecturer is teaching within a scope, within a context. Is it not true? Such that if you lay hold on that syllable and lay hold on that textbook, some people didn't even need to come to classes. Is it not true? Except for the fact that they mark attendance. Now, didache is the one that the lecturer is delivering in the classroom. The didaskalia is the body of knowledge from whence he teaches. Are you getting the point? Both of them are doctrine, but didascalia is, they come in your community and they tell you that nobody should kill a snake, a python. Is it not true? From where did they get that kind of knowledge that they are passing down from one generation to another? I hope you know that that thing is a doctrine. Yes, it's a doctrine. It's a doctrine with the intent to perpetually keep people within the frame of the authority of the spirit that has formulated that doctrine. Meanwhile, are you getting the point? A spirit formulated a doctrine, and those doctrines came as a result of many and diverse encounters. Maybe because people are dying in your family or dying in your village or all kinds of things is happening. They now said, in this certain season, we'll do this festival. And this festival is called the Festival of Fertility. So that everything, the yam you planted, will be fertile. Are you getting the point? Now, the great-great-great-great-grandfathers that instituted it will not tell you how they came about, how the thing started. Maybe they used 7 human heads. Are you getting the point? And then the spirit told them that if you want to propagate, if you want to continue in this agreement, that in certain seasons you do like this, and you must teach your children to begin to live in this way. If it is possible that they will continue taking delivery of the benefits that is encoded in those doctrines. Are you getting the point? Meaning that without a man teaching them, even though there is a body of knowledge already available that have the capacity to bring them to the frontiers of the bounties of the covenant that they have caught with spirits. But if a man doesn't teach them, are you getting the point? They will not take delivery. And beyond the fact that they won't take delivery, they will suffer the consequences of ignorance. So one day you wake up and a man, nobody in your family is going beyond 50 years. The first person died. The second person died. The third person died. What will happen? They will go and inquire from spirits. There must be a syllabus. There must be something lacking in our educational syllabus. Are you getting the point? The resultant effect is that men have become victims of the impact of the agreement that men had with spirits. And on the day they made the agreement, people agreed and said that I will do this. And the spirit said, I will do this. And the spirit waited and found out that there was a knowledge gap between the last generation and this generation. And this new generation just appeared. And because they got job in Lagos, they thought, I'm in Lagos, and all those things they are doing in the village doesn't concern me. There is a body of knowledge. The name is didascalia. And except men are brought into his education by the means called didache, they will be culprits. They will be consequences of the rot of spirits that pioneered a way, and our fathers are supposed to teach it. Are you getting the point? Now transfer it to the kingdom, and you will find out that there is the faith of our fathers. And what is the faith of our fathers is beyond what is just taught in the classroom. It is a body of knowledge. The intent is to bring you to the fullness of the stature of Christ, so that if any man subscribes to that educational system, what you will notice is that after certain seasons, he will become a clear representation of what is spoken about in the syllabus of the scripture. That was what the scripture was saying in the book of Ephesians. He said that the fivefold was raised for ministry so that they will come up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Are you getting the point? So that what is in this person has approximated in his knowledge of God to the point that he have retained the stature in God to supply the quota of God that God has ordained from eternity that he's supposed to bring. Remember the scripture called every man that has been brought into Christ a lively stone. Whenever you hear that, just know that there is a construction. And just like a builder uses blocks to build, God uses men to build. And in the spirit, you are a lively stone. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? Follow me. The implication of that is that God will not be able to fulfill his building project except he gets lively stone. And the context and comparison, if you translate it, the source code of the building that God was representing in the New Testament can be traced to the Old Testament. The model that Solomon brought, The scripture spoke about the stones and the materials that was used in that building, and it says that they were stones made ready. So that by the time they appeared in the building site, there was no hammer, there was no chisel. God is building, is an eternal building. So this is what Jesus was trying to achieve. Of all Jesus began to do and to what? Teach. There is a body of knowledge. That is what the New Age Christianity, some of them don't want to, they don't want to accept it. There are some pastors that feel that it is too much to expect a young man and young woman to live pure. Not just pure in your actions, no fornication, pure in your heart. In your heart, purity. Revival must come. We must live pure in character and pure in heart. I mean, Jesus can come and wander through your thoughts and it is not polluted. Pay the price. God can't have anything less. He said that the Father promised the church a wife, and the wife is the church, and he called it the glorious church without spot or what? It's not just spot, wrinkle. You see, we can be comfortable with the fact that there is no spot, but there are many wrinkles. See, Jesus can't have less. Whatever it takes, he will chisel his church. That is the purpose of the outpouring. Not just for things to happen for us, but for a chiseling to take place. A chiseling. In the days, God will bring hammer and come, and he'll begin to break up the fallow places. Some days he will come with sword, double-edged sword. And in those days, he will cut off the foreskins of the flesh, circumcise away the things that is standing in the way of us mirroring the full dimension of what is godly. Other days, he will come with fire and he will burn. The Bible called him the consuming fire. It's not just consuming fire. God, the fire of hell is not necessarily the fire of God. The fire of God is the one that quenches, burns everything that is flesh. You have not smelled flesh burning before. It's because you have not encountered the fire. It will be burning flesh. This the odor of flesh everywhere, because the consuming fire is burning. It will be pungent. And in those seasons that is burning, everybody will know that you are a man of the flesh, because the flesh is under fire. Your weaknesses will be obvious. Everybody will know that you have greed, you have temper. Everybody will know that you have pride, you have lust. Everybody will know. But just make sure you are under the fire, the consuming fire. For a time being, the pungency of the flesh burning under fire will be everywhere. But a season will come, and the fire would have succeeded in burning off all the flesh. The only thing that will remain is the spirit. You will be the one that is tested by fire. By fire. Of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Verse 2. I just showed you something important now. He said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, gave what? No suggestions. Gave what? Is it commandments or suggestions? You know, there are kinds of messages you preach. The people that come to your fellowship or your church, they will disappear. I hope you know. If we are just basing on power, you know, fall under anointing and even prayer, some people don't want to pray. What they want is for them to come, so I will lay hands on them and suddenly their prayer issue will go. You are in trouble. 24 hours is coming. The bridegroom will leave. There are days you need help, but one day the bridegroom will escape. And you won't know. And when he escapes, you will have to fast and pray that day. You know you have not fasted. The Holy Ghost has not put demand on you. Believe me, I'm telling you. If it's for where you are going, he has not. He's saying, let's test you small, a little bit more. You don't know where we are going. The capacity it takes to sustain bearing in that frame is much. Because your hand will be in many things. And you are expected to be a master. Your expertise have to show that you have gone through the school of the spirit. You will be a man that have multi-competence. Because the army that God told me is raising, what he showed me in the spirit many years ago, he said that these are the special squad. That is why if you come to Revival Hub, you seem as if we are overdoing it in everything. No. What we are raising here is special squad. It is not just that you are good. I know you can. There are people that are good and they are doing well and they will end up doing well, go to heaven and all. What we are raising here is special squad. Do you know what it means? If you find the person with books, he will be the best. Find him with money, he becomes the best. Find him with purity, he is the best. Find him with character, he is the best. With power, he is the best. With giving, he is the best. Do you know what is a special squad? What is special squad in the army? They will recruit you. You will go through the medical profession. Meanwhile, you are supposed to be a soldier with God. If they give you a laptop, you can do programming. Anything they give those men, they can deliver on it. That is the kind of training that they received. Why will you receive that kind of training and you are pitying yourself? To what end do you want to achieve that kind of pity? To what end? See, people like goodly goods, but they don't like the process that brings those kind of goods. They like the end, but they don't like the process. They don't like the fact that a man's mouth will be moving for 3 days non-stop. Suddenly you wake up from the sleep, he's still on. There is a way you pray for long, this your tongue will be tamed. A man's tongue is not just tamed in speaking to people, it's tamed in chatting on WhatsApp and writing on Facebook. A man's lips can be tamed. You have not prayed in tongues for long. When you pray in tongues for long, you can only speak to God and God speak to you. You don't have time for men for those days. You don't know some of our secrets. That is one of the fundamental consecrations of men that have utterance. If you will speak for God, it will mean, are you with me? Let me leave it. Let me leave this one. Let me leave this one. Let me leave this one. You will stop talking for long. So that anytime you open your mouth, it will edify. That is where I tried by the grace of God to stay in permanently. If I shake your hands, it edifies. Is to live in the spirit. If I smile, it edifies. If I'm angry with you, it edifies. Yes. Actually, Jesus can enter the temple and find out that the place that was supposed to be the house of prayer for all nations have become a den of thieves. It scatters everywhere. On that day, he is coming by the spirit. You know, some people, I used to say, some people are too gentle and too good that even when the Holy Spirit is expecting them, that is what we call, there are, during this period, if God helps us before the year runs out, I will show you people the different kinds of anointing according to the scripture. The different kinds of anointing. There is what we call the anointing of gladness, the oil of gladness. What is the prerequisite for the oil of gladness to come upon a man? He said, you will love righteousness. And what? Okay, I love righteousness, but I don't hate iniquity. You are far from the oil of gladness. What we see is many people that are just content with the fact that they love righteousness. The Bible said for the oil of gladness. That is why for you to be a preacher of righteousness like some of us, the power behind our preaching is actually the fact that we hate iniquity. Now, there are many people preaching and they are very, very good. Their preaching is circling around the fact that they love righteousness. and they preach it. But you notice that there are grounds that they cannot break. You can't hear them and you are pushed to do more. It makes people to peak at a certain level. But some of us, even if you have heard me 10 times, you hear me again, you press again. Do you know why? Because there is a rebellion that is in the soul of a man that only a preacher of righteousness that hates iniquity can only excavate. It's a digging. When the man begins to speak, you will see the digging. You will see you are not qualified to deliver on the assignment. Huh? That you that is speaking to people need a man to speak to you first. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles that he had chosen. Next verse. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them. How many days? How many days? Speaking of the things, what? Pertaining to the kingdom. Now, I cannot overemphasize this matter, that there is such a thing as speaking about things pertaining to the kingdom. You see, how many of you have heard Jesus say that amongst all the prophets that have risen up, that the greatest of them is who? Why? Why, Chingwe? Why is John the Baptist the greatest? Who can help me? Chimobi, why? Don't tell them this your answer. Why? He said he's a forerunner. He was a forerunner of Jesus. Who again has an answer this side? Huh? He said other prophets prophesied about Jesus. For him, he saw Jesus. The other person said that he's a forerunner. Two people here said it was because he preached the kingdom. Actually, it's because he preached the kingdom. You don't know what it means to preach the kingdom. It is a realm of possibility that men will have never opened up to. You see, the destiny of an average man, even an Israelite, that is a set of people that God called out for himself, their destiny is dependent on the ministries of men. Are you with me? Now, as I said yesterday, the day the high priest enters the holiest of all to make atonement for them once in a year and fails, are you with me? Fails in his project, then it is not just about the fact that the high priest have died. The whole nation is in trouble. The plague will break out upon them until a man rises to the point that he has entered into the holiest of all and been able to bring atonement for himself and for a nation. Do you know the implication? It means that a whole nation is dependent on one man. So except priests and prophets, we are able to collect something from God, then every man is subject to their expertise. Every man is subject to their capacity to live the days of God. So there are days that you will come in the land of Egypt, there is no prophet, there is no priest, there is no effort. Do you know the implication? The voice of God will never be there. That means God will never speak until the prophet appears. He will never speak until the priest and effort appears. Are you getting the point? So there is no possibility of an average common man to lay hold on the things that is of God. That is why you don't know why I love the word press. My favorite word in the whole of the New Testament is what? Press. Because press is a new covenant word. It's a kingdom word. It gives me an understanding of the fact that even though in the old covenant that I will have to wait for whatever they give me is what I get. But in the new covenant, they opened up a possibility in the spirit by the preaching of the kingdom. So that from the time of John the Baptist, what happened? The kingdom is preached. And then every single man, we don't have to wait for the high priest and the prophet. The only thing separating you from where God ordained you and where you are is your hunger and capacity to press. How much are you willing to press? That is why John is who he is. So when John preached, he preached repentance to everybody. That was not possible. You have to wait for the high priest. You don't know why they are angry with him. Because they removed emphasis on those things that they are doing in the temple and put emphasis on the men. That if a man is willing to accept Christ now and bring repentance, then God will begin to deal with him on a personal basis. Are you getting the point? So if you want to prophesy from the day of John, you can prophesy. If you want to hear God on your own, you can hear God. If you want to go ahead and establish and promote the frontiers of the kingdom, from the day of John, you can. But before John, you cannot. As a matter of fact, they spoke about Jesus. They said that he came from Nazareth. They said, can anything good? What? That means that there is a layer of possibility that has been given to men that came from certain places. But in the kingdom, I'm not from Nazareth, I'm from Zion. And men from Zion can enter anywhere in God. How far do you want to go? Where are you from? Eh? Where are you from? Are you sure? The way to show us is the things you have laid hold in God. So it was John that began to tell us about the kingdom. And suddenly the whole of the city, they left the temple and started looking for John in the wilderness. Because they heard what they have not heard before. I thought you need to go to the... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Before then, you need to go to the priest. And they will fulfill all those rites. And they say, you are now forgiven. But when you meet John in the wilderness, he said, I'm preaching repentance. When I baptize you in water, it's the baptism of repentance. All your sins are forgiven. John, you don't need to meet the priest again. And they will continue to taunt you. They will give you Holy Communion. If you don't come to Holy Communion, you won't go to heaven. I think it's still happening in some denominations now. Eh? Until you encounter the kingdom. When you encounter the kingdom, you will find out that the differences between one person and another in the kingdom is the administration of the grace of God that has come upon a life to fulfill the days of God. That is the only difference. Men are not different because they suddenly started wearing a new cloth and they put collar here. That thing has killed many men. So except you wear that collar and sit where the pastors are sitting, something is telling you, you have not started ministry. You are an old covenant believer. Yeah, you are born again, but you have old covenant mindset. When you enter the new covenant, you don't need color, you don't need hair. Don't you have the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
All you need to do is to be spreading life everywhere you appear. Because ministry is life. And if you have the capacity to bring life to the marketplace, you are a minister. Are you getting the point? We have seen many pastors sit under pulpits and speak for 1 hour, 2 hours. No life came out. Men hear them and they die in their sins. They are not changed. Their heart is not pricked. Nothing moves them from point one to two. You have listened to that kind of message for 10 years and you know the way you are moving, you will not fulfill the days that is hanging upon your life. You lie on your bed and you are restless. You know that there must be something beyond what I'm seeing. Yet, what they are saying in church have not helped you. And you are there. You are a sentimental fool. You have to step out and seek the God of Israel. Because in the days that the kingdom is preached, you can find God even in a prison room. You heard what Apostle was saying yesterday. He said he was inside a prison cell with the stocks on his feet. And he called upon Jesus. In fact, he was using rosary to pray. Yet the God of Israel knows the heart that cries out for him. Doesn't matter whether, that's what we are saying. You don't know what it means to enter the regime of the kingdom. That's why John is the greatest. Jesus did not preach any different message except the one that John preached. Because the Bible said after that time, Jesus entered again and began to preach the gospel of what? The kingdom. So what happened is that this new regime that opened up a window of possibility to every man. So an imam can be in the mosque like this. And
maybe
a group of intercessors in the area have begun to say, give us this man or we die. Kimambo Sakapatadia. There are different kinds of evangelism. There's what we call intercessory evangelism. Do you know what it means? You collect the names of people like this and keep them and continue vihamakate katwasatakate until the person will wake up one day and say, I don't know what he's doing, I don't know what is happening to me, let me follow you to that your church. He will come there and he is still with all his regalia and start and will start tongues. They will meet you in the afternoon and say, I want your Holy Ghost. It's intercession that brought that kind of thing. Eh? Victory will just appear. I want to take the last one that will crack his head. And suddenly a man in white will appear and say, if you take this one, you die. He will begin to cry and speak in tongues. It's intercession that can bring that one. Especially hard cases. There are cases that power, there is power evangelism. There are cases that power cannot solve. But intercession. It was Benihin that said that prayer is superior to anointing, is superior to power. Prayer. We have seen anointed men die, but we have not seen men that pray according to the will of God die. Why will you die? Because you have set out yourself as a conduit, a channel to which the will of God will flawlessly express itself in this realm. Then you cannot expect God at that place to allow you to die. Are you with me? Now, if you go to verse 8, look at verse 8. Let me stop there. Verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Remember, I told you I want to just touch on the principle of the refinery of the Spirit. This is what it means. It means that what Jesus gave you when you received the Holy Ghost, he said that, how many of you are, if you are more than 25 years, that is the only way you will understand this thing I'm saying. There is a bicycle we have in the village those days. The bicycle has light in front, but that light can only come on except you pedal, and there is a dynamo under the seat. Small children don't know this one. There is a dynamo under the seat. When you pedal, then the dynamo will begin to charge. Once it's night, you can on the light. Your light is on as long as there was pedaling and the dynamo is charged. That is what the scripture meant emphatically when he was speaking in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He said, ye shall receive power. What you are receiving, the word power there is dunamis, and it is gotten from the root word dynamo. So what you received is what? Dynamo. So the extent of power that we afford from your being to begin to deal with matters is dependent on how much you are willing to pedal. Tell somebody, I will pedal. That's why when we begin to pray, I will tell you that it's like a generator. That's what happens. When you put a generating set, it will be going. And just like a refinery, you put something there. Depending, sometimes what you need to, are you with me? What you need to cook in your refinery is your character. Are you with me? You just carry your character and put there, because you need to know that men, Apostle, welcome, sir. Daddy, welcome, sir. You need to know that men that have good character, that walk in the character of Christ, did not necessarily enter there as a result of the fact that they made effort in the flesh. They entered there because of the workings of the Spirit. Now, if you enter there because they told you be humble, and then you become humble by the energy of the flesh, a day will come, you will find out that character you developed as a result of the energy. You can do it. You can develop character by discipline, but the real character development is by life. So that when you put that kind of character under pressure, it will only continue to get better. It can't get worse. You can't suddenly be good today and be bad tomorrow. That means the character was not formed by the energy of the Spirit. It was formed because of something you heard somewhere. And because now it is good
Discipline is good, but it can't take you far. Satan will wait for you in a junction where it is possible that what will save you is your character. He will make sure you fail in that day because you formed your character as a result of discipline. But if it is by the Spirit, when you mount pressure on a humble man, that humility came by the Spirit. No matter the pressure, he becomes more humble because it is the Spirit that is working. Yeah, when you put gold under pressure and temp pressure, it doesn't lose his beauty, it doesn't lose his potency, it becomes more clear, it becomes more pure. Faith like pure gold. So sometimes you take your character and put in that refinery and you begin to pedal. Sometimes you take addictions, all those nyama nyama that has followed you for long, put it there and you begin to pedal. What will happen is that sometimes when you pedal and the temperature and pressure has increased to a certain degree, what will happen is that sometimes it can be lust that left first, sometimes it can be anger that left first, but there are other ones there. Continue to pedal. The refinery will get to the point where it will succeed in dealing with all of them. So I met many people, they told me that this one have stopped, this one have not stopped. You have not seen deliverance, you just saw deliverance the event, you have not seen deliverance the process. When you understand deliverance the process, you have understood refinery. So you put all those matters here. There is a way you pedal the refinery to the point that the curses that is in your family will just follow. You can't even remember when it stopped. That is why priesthood is both the means and the end. Are you getting the point? Priesthood is an eternal process that God instituted, not just to get his purposes accomplished, but to get men to become. When you yield yourself to priesthood, what you will realize is that prayer, as the major component of priesthood, essentially does a work inside you before it does a work through you. So when you come to God in the kingdom, when you pray the way we pray, our target is not to get just power, get things to happen, no, our target is that something is happening inside. Now, in the immediate, it might not be obvious. That is the problem with people. Just because you just prayed for 6 hours, you just want a magic. No. When you continue to be, just keep the refinery running. Keep the refinery running. Keep it running. Keep it running. Keep it running. And then one day you will appear. Even people that knew you before, they will say something has happened to you. They will say, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no God. Jacob has been taken away. I want you to pray for 1 minute. Pray for 1 minute. You can't hear this thing and not pray. Pray for 1 minute. Leave your neighbor. Your neighbor might not be touched, but you know the things that you are passing through. You know the things that God needs to handle. Your neighbor might not have any issue to handle, but you need your refinery to run. That's why we increase the temperature, increase the pressure, so that the refinery time will be reduced. The more the pressure and temperature is increased, the refinery time will be reduced. But if you continue to heat it at lower temperature and pressure, now, you can get the result, but it can take 10 years. My little children, of whom I travail in pain again, until Christ be formed. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Jesus mighty name.